Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Let me turn to my guests who are here with me this morning from the Aztec School District, of course, welcoming back to KSJE, Superintendent Kirk Carpenter from his office at Aztec Schools. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Good to see you and have you with us this morning. Appreciate it. Also, Deputy Superintendent Tanya Prokop is joining us as well. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott.
Good to see you, and thank you for joining me as well. And let's get started this morning by talking a bit about back to school, face-to-face for Aztec Schools. Mr. Carpenter, we were talking about this just before we came on the air this morning, and there was a lot of, I think, hoops to jump through and a lot of things the state really wanted to see being done in Aztec before they would let you bring students back into your buildings. And so you were able to do that with some very last-minute work by you and your staff. And tell me how things are going these days.
Well, there's a smile on my face, and I think there's a smile on a lot of people's faces. You know, one of the biggest things that we're inherently have a right to, public education, has been something that has been remiss in many respects in the way we've had to deliver instruction. And so I can tell you, in 31 years as an educator, this is my 31st, so all of this is real.
Right. You really had an emotional response to seeing those loaded buses show up, didn't you?
I did. And to see kids getting off buses, you know, it's all different. It's not a new normal. It's an exceptional normal, because this is going to go away. But to have kids come on campuses, to see teachers in classrooms with kids, you could feel it. And so we're very thankful that we've been able to do that. But I will tell you, it was not without some last minute fighting and maybe a little fit throwing by the superintendent. Because you know, we were scheduled to start last Tuesday, which we did, but we got a call on Sunday, and we were told, well, you don't have this filtration, you don't have this, so even though we talked about this and you signed all your assurances and we said you could go, you can't. Obviously, that didn't sit very well, and so a few phone calls to, you know, some people, including the secretary and even the lieutenant governor. I have a very good relationship with him. Explaining, here's the situation. We are going back to school. I mean, I was kind of taking a stand that we're going back no matter what, because we've been assured we have a plan in place to get the right filtration in with the different kind of filters that they're asking us to do. We had some in place. We didn't have all of them. We will have all those in place this week, but there's a lot of systems we have that don't have filters. So through a lot of, I don't know if it was coaxing or just making a point to say, here's the reality of this. It involves more than us. It involves parents that have canceled daycare so they can go back to work. This is a bigger issue than I think they realized. We made some very good points to them when I had conversations with them, and they went forward to the powers to be, which honestly is coming from all the way from the governor's office. And there's a lot of other pressures. I know she's getting by different groups to do different things. But long story to try to shorten it, we were successful in our bid to say, here's our situation. We are going forward. We have this in place. We have a plan in place, and it's too important for our kids. And so we were able to do that because we've met all the other assurances, and we are not trying to take any seductive shortcuts in safety. Never have, never will. However, given the nature of this situation, it's not a quick fix for anybody, us or anybody else across the state. So it's ongoing, and it's just unfortunate the way some decisions have come through the public education department. And I'm saying through and not from, because they're a flow through. And these decisions are being made by up at the governor's office. And I'm not in any way trying to ridicule or say anything about the governor. I know she's getting informed by a lot of experts. And it's not the decisions themselves, probably, it's the timing. And we need a lot of this done way in advance. And so that's the unfortunate thing about this, because other schools in the area, the county, Farmington, and Bloomfield both were scheduled to go and couldn't because of last minute changes. And it's just not appropriate in the way some of that decision making has flowed through the public education department with the timing of those decisions.
Understood. And so, Mr. Carpenter, I know for many of us, if we were to walk into a school today, which of course we cannot do, but we probably wouldn't recognize maybe some of the ways that things have had to change in order to safely bring staff and students back into your classrooms. And this is some of the stuff that, that you're talking about, right? The plans, the preparations that, that your staff has been working on to make this a safe environment for your teachers and your students to come back in and then to maybe change that or want to change that in the last 48 hours leading up to reopening, that was what we're talking about, right?
And that's right. And, you know, we actually had a state fire marshal on our campus the first day we opened and the second day checking our elementary campuses. Everything from having directional walking signs and arrows up in hallways so that kids, when they're traveling down the hallway, understand they have to stay to the extreme right on both sides, to having different spacing out in the cafeteria where certain chairs are available to sit in, certain aren't. The spacing in the classrooms to make sure they were 6 foot. I call it the pool noodle rule because that's how long a pool noodle is if you've ever got one. It's 6 feet. And we actually have some of those on campus where they're teaching kids the distance.
Sure. And
there's a lot of teaching that can take place in this, whether we like what we're having to do or not. But if you just take the distancing thing, I was at one school when kids were trying to line up on different X's in the hallway and they had trouble because they were lined up all the way back, you know, 40 feet. And it's hard for kids not to be together because they're so used to that. So there's a lot of training that has to take place. The masks, you have to have a mask.
Right.
We're checking temperatures on the buses before they get on. We're checking temperatures before they come into the school. But I want to tell you, I am very blessed as a superintendent to have the cabinet and the principals that we have in our district because of the job they've done in getting schools ready and all the other staff. It's not just them, but their leadership has been just tremendous during this. And as much as the stress may be there as a superintendent, when you have people like I do, and I hate the word I, but in this case, I have to speak about myself. When you have people like I do around me, there's a lot of stress that goes away because they have taken care of business and done a tremendous job of creating safe environments. Everything from the cleaning procedures that are taking place, you know, teachers, we're putting more on them. And, you know, God bless those people because they're the ones on the front line, but they're doing a lot more cleaning in between classes. They're doing cleaning before and after day. They're helping us with that. And that's hard to ask. But in these unprecedented times, and that word's been used a lot, but that's what it is, we have to do different things. We have to do it differently. And our staff has stepped up, and we can't be more proud. And, you know, we hope nothing happens, but hope's not a strategy. That's why you put all these things in place to try to prevent from something happening. But if it does, we have plans in place for that as well. And we will take it and deal with it and move forward because we are going forward. And it's small steps, baby steps, but it absolutely is progress.
Very good. You mentioned some of those people that are around you, Mr. Carpenter. One of those is your Deputy Superintendent, Tanya Prokop. I want to ask her a little bit about what she's hearing from principals and teachers as students are coming back into some school buildings in the Aztec School District. Tanya Prokop, what have you heard this last week?
Well, it's not so much as always hearing, but witnessing.
Uh-huh.
And it just, you know, I think about rainbows and storms. You know, there's always blessings and curses. And as Kirk spoke about last Tuesday, when our elementary students got to come back to a face-to-face scenario, it's definitely rainbows all over the district. And so just for folks to understand, the students that are back in a face-to-face kind of hybrid learning environment in Aztec are our preschool students through fifth grade. So three of our elementary schools are doing face-to-face instruction. And that is Lydia Rippey, McCoy, and Park Avenue. We also have some online studies going on as well. But yeah, it was just great. And being on campus on those first couple days with kiddos and staff, it's like nothing had changed. Everybody just goes right into the same mode. It looks and feels a little bit different, like Kirk explained, but everybody's just in their element. Even the kiddos with their shiny new shoes and their shiny little backpacks on. And now they're color coordinated masks.
Right.
It kind of breaks your heart a little bit. It did mine, but it was balancing that kind of broken heart that this is kind of where we're at, but that everybody just kind of fell right into a groove of this is what it's going to look like right now. And so we read a book many years ago called Switch. I don't remember the authors, but in the book Switch, it talked about pathways getting from one part to another, and that sometimes there are boulders in those pathways. And so it used an elephant trying to maneuver through these pathways. And sometimes the elephant can move the boulder. Sometimes the elephant can step over the boulder. But sometimes there's such an obstruction in that pathway that the elephant may need assistance to maneuver around that boulder to continue down the pathway. And I really think that during COVID, Aztec Schools has been maneuvering. We've been that elephant, you know, trying to maneuver that pathway. And as different boulders or rocks or pebbles or whatnot get into the way, as a team from our custodial staff, our transportation staff, our cafeteria, our teachers, our educational system, the whole team just is real fluid at recognizing what those boulders are and then trying to figure out how we're going to get past that boulder. Because at the end, that pathway, it's about learning environments for our students. So we're all humans, and sometimes these obstructions can get to the best of us, and we have to have our outbursts, and then we have patience and we have kindness and we figure out how to maneuver through. So what messages have I been getting? A lot of different messages. And in the end, we're all really happy to be able to see kiddos in a face-to-face kind of hybrid environment.
Right. And of course, some might think that maybe with the younger kids, it may be a little more difficult to explain to them some of the new rules that they're facing now that they're back in school and having to stay on one side of the hall and stay with just their own class when they go out on recess and all those different types of new rules that they have to put up with and deal with because of the situation. But has that tended to be the case, or are they understanding and getting it with the direction from their teachers?
Yeah, I think our teachers are great leaders. And Kirk mentioned one of the visuals. Who knew that the pool noodle was right. going to become a standard in being a visual in our elementary schools? But it's a great visual with that. They've got long, thick ropes that they gotten from the PE department with different knots in them. You know, we have to worry about keeping those clean and hands washed. But to help kids visualize that distance that they have to have. They're doing, in some of the elementary schools, we're eating lunch and breakfast in the classroom. And right. so that's kind of a new adventure as well. And so it's just learning these new habits. And these are habits that our families are helping as well. We've been trying to message to our community and to our families that if they can do some of these different habits at home and be real consistent with them, then that helps us on the end at the school. And then it's not so different. And it that first day of school, I was out on playground duty with at Park Avenue, and one of the teachers had a pool noodle and almost using it as what to shake hands with kiddos because that was that distance. So just teaching kids, and as an adult, I need that reminder as well. Because it's habit, you know, where we shake hands, we hug people that are close to us, and you have to all of a sudden pause and remember kind of what the new rules or etiquette are right now.
Right. Very, very true. And for both of you, I want to ask you a bit about the next phase of face-to-face learning. And it's my understanding that that would be then your older grades, perhaps, as things maybe improve. Is that the next thing that you're planning for, Mr. Carpenter, is to bring older kids back to schools when you're able to do so?
We are. And, it's ongoing planning. It has been phased in. And so we don't have a timeline. And uh-huh. I think that's part of the frustration that a lot of people have. But I really feel like with the PED and the state, again, the powers to be are looking at is what's going on, what's happening. Do we have influx of cases? Where are the cases in our state? Do they continue to maintain and go down and trend down? You know, there's some counties that aren't open. They're red counties. And so those counties cannot do the face-to-face. And so there's a lot of school districts in the southeast part of the state. We were the hot spot in the beginning, and now they're the hot spot. So they can't open. And so there's a lot of changes coming across the state with even just getting all the face-to-face at the elementary level done. There's only, to my knowledge, 21 school districts that were able to open last Tuesday, us being one of them. That could meet the assurances in that. And there were a lot of other school districts that planned to do that. So I'm not sure if that's going to delay the secondary start. I would imagine it would. But, you know, again, I think what we have to do is, as much as people don't like to hear this, we have to be patient and embrace this journey. Because if we don't, it's going to be a frustrating one, and it's going to be more damaging than good. You know, just to the teaching of the elementary students with some of the things we have to do. It's all about learning. It's all about understanding that times change, and in some situations, our rules change. And so I think that's what our teachers do such a wonderful job of, is that teach to. This is where we are right now. This is what we have to do, whether it's wearing a mask. You know, the biggest complaint I was getting early on was, how do you expect preschool kids to wear a mask? We'll teach them. And as part of what we do, it's learning. And I think that's what we have to remember, is the foundation of everything we're going through and what we're doing at our schools is based on learning. Whether it's a positive situation or not, we have full control on our attitudes and to create the best we can out of every situation, whether it's the noodle, the rope, standing on an X, not being able to sit by your friend right now. It's being fully transparent, even with the young kids, because they need it and they can handle it. And the bottom line is that's what we have to do. So it's all about learning. And it'll be the same when we get our middle school and high school kids, and they'll be even tougher in some respects. I've always said, though, and I'm an old or former secondary guy, that our secondary schools need to be more elementary, and they're going to have to be when they come back, you know, from going in certain doors, not going in other doors, lining up in the hallways, spreading out, all of that. And that there's nothing wrong with that at this point, because that's what we're faced with, and we just need to embrace it and move forward.
Right, right. And let me ask you, too, about moving forward and with this new thing that's going on. There is something that the state is also requiring you to do, this surveillance testing of your teachers, right? This is something the state has asked you to do, to test these folks for COVID-19 and kind of rotate around. Explain that to maybe our audiences of what that's all about.
So the surveillance testing, you know, again, it's coming from higher powers, and there's been a lot of pressure from different folks with the governor's office to ensure this stuff's in place. Surveillance testing means we have to test 5% of our population that are at schools with the face-to-face learning, and that includes our custodians, our bus drivers will be included because they see kids every day, and it'll be random testing. We are going to actually, in our district, put in place to accept volunteers to start the process at the school sites, because the intent of this surveillance testing is to test as many people as you can. I will tell you, of all the things we faced internally, this is one of the most controversial. It's causing a lot of discontent and ill feelings with staff, and I can understand. We do understand. And so I think what we're really trying to do, and we've spent a lot of time balancing this mandate that we've been given to follow so that we can stay open, and how we address our people to protect them as well and get through this. But at the end of the day, it is going to be a situation where people have to do that. On Sunday, I went and did a COVID test. And for the sake of, if we're asking staff to do it, I need to do it. And, 10 seconds, it's not bad, makes your eyes water a little bit, but it, you know, we understand it's not something you want to do every single day, and we're not going to ask our staff to do that, but it is important. And it is important for the bottom line of what we're trying to do, and that's keep our kids at school, keep our staff at school, keep everybody safe, and that's the reason for this surveillance testing. But that'll take place at every single site. It's not just across the district, 5% at each site that has students and those people that are involved with those students. And again, I think we can't control the mandate we've been given. We have full control how we try to put it in place to meet the guidelines, and how we as adults model, okay, this is what we have to do, whether I like it or not at this point. How do I get through this and keep the big picture in mind? And the big picture are those small little faces that are behind those masks right now getting taught face to face. And that's what we need to keep. And we cannot do that unless we abide by this mandate.
Right. And I appreciate that. And those little faces behind those masks, Mr. Carpenter, of course, you're not at 100%. Because if you were, if you had 100% students coming back into your buildings, you would not be able to reopen as safely as you are. And so your schools are at a lower capacity. Some parents have decided to continue to teach their children maybe at home or find other options or things like that. And so talk to me a little bit about that. We've got smaller numbers in the schools these days.
Yeah, we do. And I there's a benefit to that right now because of the amount of one-to-one time, even if it's just 2 days a week that they're seeing their teacher face-to-face. One thing we have heard is what they're able to do in that amount of time with those students. And there's a lot of, you know, we have absolutely regressed with education. We've seen it in our scores. We've seen it with students, with different groups, whether it's special education students or other students. And so having these small numbers right now is a big benefit, and it's a positive, even if it's just 2 days. But the amount of learning that they can try to capture, the amount of targeted intervention that they can try to do, it's incredible right now. And that is a positive in this situation. Again, I always try to find positive in every situation. I think that's important, and that's one thing we always do at our level of the district. So that is a benefit. We're looking at different changes with even some special education populations of students. We've identified that even if they're not in a cohort, so if they're AB, is there ways to bring them in? Because we do have situations where we can do that and still keep the 50% capacity of a roster. But those students that are in higher need, we want to get in more often if we can. And ultimately, we'd love to get more kids in, but it's just a matter of what we can do given the assurances. So there are absolute positives with the learning time that we have in the one-to-one and small groups right now. And teachers are taking full advantage of that on the days that they have those students. And when those students aren't there, they're doing work at home. And then Fridays, we're checking in to see how they're doing. And nothing's perfect. It's not going perfectly over here. There are issues and concerns we have, but we're continually trying to address them.
Right. Tanya Prokop, let me ask you, does that concern you when Mr. Carpenter talks about a regression in learning for some students at Aztec schools just because of the situation? It's really no one's fault, I don't think, but does that concern you?
Absolutely. And it should concern us.
Right.
If it didn't, I don't think that we're in the right business. So it's taking a look. We've talked in the past about our professional learning communities.
PLCs, I've learned that.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it. So, you know, our teachers are still doing that kind of work. And so working in their professional learning communities is shifted now. It's on Fridays. So they're checking in with their students, and then they're also working with their peers. And so that they can address some of this regression that's happening with some of our students. And it's looking at where the kiddos are at, and then formulating lessons and putting game plans together to get them caught up or to help them excel. It all depends where each kid is at. And so these different assessments are still happening. They just look different and feel a little bit different. You know, one of the interesting things that's happening in those learning environments as well to help support learning and possible regression is while a teacher has group A in a face-to-face, group B is learning from home. But what we've got some educators doing is they've got their laptops up and they're using that Zoom meeting, or we're using Google Meets a lot.
Right.
So they're actually teaching face-to-face, but also interacting with the kiddos at home. And so we're kind of juggling our technology and working through something like that, all in the name of improving that learning environment to help with regression, to help with acceleration. It's all dovetailing together to help that concern.
Very good. Well, I appreciate, again, of course, both of you being with me this morning. This is a momentous occasion, I guess. We have to talk about this milestone that one of you will not be with me next month, and it's not Kirk Carpenter. Tanya Prokop, you are retiring from the Aztec School District in just a couple of days, as a matter of fact, right? It's this week.
Yeah, you know, I've been very blessed. I'm learning that it's a unique story. I have been with Aztec Schools for 32 years. I came in at 23 as a brand new teacher. The district took a chance on me. Mr. Jesse Russell hired me to teach fourth grade, and I moved through as a teacher and then a site administrator at Park Avenue. And then Kirk gave me the opportunity to help lead the district with him up at central office. And so Friday will be my last day in the district, and then I'm going to use some vacation days that I've got stashed, and I will be a retired educator beginning October 1.
Well, congratulations. It is well-deserved. And Mr. Carpenter, some words from you about Ms. Prokop and how she has been able to help you lead Aztec Schools?
Well, first of all, I'm going to fire her Thursday.
I see.
And then I'll reinstate her Friday.
Oh, okay. All right. That's nice of you.
Just because.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time for all the words, the kind words. But what I will tell you is Ms. Prokop is a tremendous leader. She leaves a legacy. And I think that's one of the highest compliments anybody can have in education. So she may be retiring, but the work that she has done professionally for me is even being a mentor. You know, I may be superintendent, and oftentimes it's the people above you that may be the mentors, but that's not the case. She's a mentor for many in our district, and she's taught a lot of key lessons that will live on. And I think that is something that, as an educator, that's what you want. You know, we talk about in life, the dash, what you do in your dash. And Ms. Prokop in our district has been just amazing throughout whatever position she's had, but with me up here as a superintendent, there was nobody that could have done the job that she's done. Both professionally, she's important to me. Personally, she's important to me. I love her like a sister. But at work, we have to make some crucial decisions. And when you have people that you have to do that with, it takes the right person. And that doesn't mean a person that agrees with you. We have had some very good conversations, some very crucial conversations, and that's what makes her such a valuable educator in all that she's done. Whether it's going back to her coaching days where she was the first ever girls soccer coach in our district, to all the other coaching she did, she continues to be that for a lot of people, a coach. And that's not going to end. We know where she lives, and we're not going to let her get away that easy. But we absolutely will miss her is an understatement. They say everybody's replaceable. I think Ms. Prokop gives strong argument that sometimes maybe that's not the case, that you can totally replace somebody. Everybody has a different skill set, but she's done amazing things. And I'm forever grateful personally and professionally and what she's done for myself, but more importantly, what she's done for kids and staff in this district. And we absolutely will miss her, but we're happy for her. So it's a mixed bag, but we're very happy for her. She deserves it. And we just want her to know we love her and we'll miss her and that she's always a tiger and she always will be.
There you go. Well said, Kirk Carpenter. Thank you very much. Tanya Prokop, I hope you're still with us and didn't turn off your camera.
Nope, I'm still here. I'm plugging along. I'm doing all right.
All right. Well, I appreciate you hanging in there with us. And I think those words are being echoed by a lot of folks this morning throughout the Aztec schools and public education in New Mexico. I think you've made an impact on a lot of students, a lot of staff, a lot of teachers with your service to Aztec schools. And so I appreciate you always being available to talk to me here on KSJE. And I know your contributions to the district are innumerable. And as Mr. Carpenter said, we don't have enough time to mention all of them. But I thank you for your guest and your friendship on this program as well. And best wishes and good luck to you in your retirement. And we'll be excited to find out what's next.
Absolutely. I am too. I'm excited to see what's next as well. Thank you. Thank you both for your kind words. And as I tell others, and I believe deeply, once a tiger, always a tiger.
Tiger strong. There you go. Thank you both very much. Tanya Prokop, best wishes. Kirk Carpenter, thank you for being here. We'll talk again next month for an update, if you don't mind.
No, absolutely. And Scott, we appreciate you giving us the opportunity to do this. This is important for our community. And we just thank you for everything and all your friendship as well. So I'll see you next month.
All right. We'll see you then. Thank you very much. My guest this morning from the Aztec School District on KSJE. I'm Scott Micklin, back with more in just a moment this morning. The time right now is coming up on 8:42. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.